Dr. Reed announces that, on February 15 next, the spirits will close their part in the book now in progress, but he also announces that if anything occur to prevent or delay them in giving what they intended, they may not reach a conclusion of the work so early. 1007. He also says that they have made appeals to the people to provide a way for them to prepare matter for a magazine, but the appeals, so far, have not been heeded, and that unless there be some definite arrangement made, in that regard, by the time this present work shall close, they will abandon the magazine project, for the present, and try to make arrangement to give the matter in book form, that they have been intending for the magazine, and still more, this band of spirits have been of opinion that, such matter could best be given not far away from this place, but if all these things fail, then, it may be, this band of spirits will disorganize and seek some other way to do their work, although they are capable of exercising much patience in waiting for, and bringing about, necessary conditions for such work as they seek to do. 1008. The spirit, Professor William Denton, then spoke a few words among other things, saying, "There are many people on your earth, who fail to see anything beautiful. With them there is nothing right. Everything is out of tune. Everybody is mean, ugly, even wicked, none good, none beautiful. The wind is mean, it blows up rain. The rain is mean, it spoils the roads and rots the grain. The birds are mean, they take the grain and fruit. Man is prone to evil as the sparks to fly upwardly." 1009. "But we are different. We can see differently. With us, there is beauty in everything, the beautiful flowers, the faraway hills, the majestic mountains, the leaping, dancing, rejoicing cascade, the blooming orchards, the musical birds, the wild billows of the disturbed ocean, the storm, the lightnings gamboling on the bosom of the dark cloud, the clearing away of the storm clouds, and bursting out of the setting sun, answered by the many-colored bough of promise in the east. Oh, how beautiful all is to the spirits who dwell in the light, and crowning the whole pyramid of nature's beautiful handiwork, there is man, embodying all the beauty, all the grandeur, all the glory of all of nature's widely extended and beautiful domain. The great human family. What could be grander, more noble and beautiful than the human mind at work under guidance and assistance from the realm of spirit? But it requires a beautiful soul to reciprocate the beautiful universe." Caroline Loomis. 1010. There came from the cabinet a form of the appearance of a woman being clothed upon with white apparel and in the style and manner of ladies' clothing for summer outing, and approached near to Friend House, who sat at extreme right of the circle and identified herself to him as being his cousin when on earth. And Friend House and she seemed greatly to enjoy the meeting in exchange of congratulations that it is possible and a fact that the living and so-called dead can and do meet each other again, face to face, as of old, when both were on the mortal side. And Friend House asked this spirit if she could not give a message for our book. And the spirit immediately went over to near the secretary and said to him, 1011. "My good friend, my name is Caroline. I was just over there, talking to my cousin, Cornelius, and I suppose that I was attracted here from the fact that he is engaged in trying to help this glorious work along, and I am so happy in meeting my cousin here, that I feel almost as if returned to the beautiful days and scenes of my girlhood. I have been a sufficiently long time in the spirit world to be already somewhat advanced in mission work for higher spheres, and have seen enough of the conditions of earth, where there is so much wickedness, but it became my duty to try to help the earthly conditions, and those in the lower spheres, and for this work, I had to prepare myself, and my work is now in lower spheres. My desires, my aspirations, are for higher spheres, even the sphere of perfection, which I may not reach, certainly not, for a long time. But whether I shall ever attain to the sphere of perfection or not, my aim and efforts are to the end that I may reach as nearly there as possible, and at the earliest moment. Howbeit, the sphere of perfection is a long way from the first transition state of the purest of those of earth on entering spirit life, and the sphere of perfection is only reached by working in and through all spheres subordinate thereto. I am glad Cornelius is already doing mission work to his credit, and I would thank you to tell him that, his loved ones here, as well those whom he has not met since their transition, are all joyous and happy, and that, when he, too, shall have crossed to this side, he will receive a glorious welcome and happy greeting by those who had crossed before. 1012. There then appeared a lady spirit form, on the carpet, between the cabinet and circle, and being very tall for a woman, the secretary also stood up on the carpet, near to the spirit form, and the spirit drew near to the secretary, so that, the whole circle could see, and all declared that the spirit is just the height of secretary, which would be 5 feet 10 inches, or 5 1/2 inches taller than medium. Paul buried alive, when only in a trance. 1013. There came to visibility in the arena, at the typewriting machine, the man spirit that usually does the typewriting, and presently entered into conversation with parties in the cabinet, as to whether the lady could take and write the dictation, and soon it was concluded to allow the lady to make the trial, and the man spirit, going into the cabinet, met the lady spirit coming out of the cabinet, and the lady, standing at the typewriter, proceeded to write the dictation at about the rate of 150 words per minute, once in a while asking the dictator, in the cabinet, to utter faster, or repeat, as the case might be, and when done, the said writing was found to be as follows. 1014. I have a strange story to relate, and I do not expect that it will be believed by all of its readers, nevertheless it is true, in even the minutest detail. Back of the everyday occurrences of earth life are forces whose power and depth cannot be gauged by mortals. 1015. My spirit name is Paul, and it must answer for my earth name tonight. I was a minister of the Orthodox Church, upon earth, and although I asserted the fact of man's immortality, I had nothing to prove my assertions, except traditions of the past, of the hearsay of others. Therefore, I deemed it my duty to search for any clue which could give me the assurance that the doctrines I taught were true and transmute my faith to knowledge. 1016. Students of mesmerism were just beginning their experiments, and after reading carefully all reports that came to my notice, I decided to try a few experiments myself, hoping to find proofs of immortality. After a number of trials, I found that I could mesmerize myself. Knowing that my family would be prejudiced against anything of this kind, I practiced in secret, and while in an entranced condition I was discovered by a servant, and after a physician had pronounced me dead, I was buried. Oh, the agony I passed through when my spirit returned to my body! It is beyond description. 1017. My first feelings were of oppression. I found that I was in very close quarters. At first, I did not realize where I was. Then the horrible realization that I had been buried alive, completely overcame me, and I lost consciousness. If I had only remained in that state, my sufferings would have been of short duration, but consciousness returned and I fought for my life as long as my strength lasted. At last I stood alone, on a high cliff that overhung a stormy sea. Icy winds seemed to pierce me through and through. This, I thought, is the result of God's anger for daring to attempt to solve the mystery of immortality. 1018. Then a voice, sweet and calm, replied, "Not so, this is the result of breaking the magnetic cord that bound thy spirit to thy earthly body." I looked for the speaker, but no one was in the range of my vision. Then I cried, "Lo, I am in hell." I thought of heaven and all that might have been mine, had I not disobeyed my master. Thought, in the spirit world, is the same as speech in the material world. The unseen one answered, "Thou art not in hell. Thou art in that strange condition that follows being buried alive, or murdered. Thou wilt feel oppressed as if by a heavy fog for some time, but thou wilt soon be in brighter conditions." Thus I entered into life in the spirit world. 1019. I had sought for immortality, and had found it, but in a different manner from what I expected, as my purpose was to learn the secret of immortality that I might impart it to others. That thought was uppermost in my mind when I left the body, therefore, my spirit hovered very near the earth plane for a long time. But at last I was released, and now I am striving to do all I can to bring the knowledge, the pursuit of which ended my earthly life, to others. 1020. When modern spiritualism was able to prove its claims to all who would give it an impartial hearing, I thought all the ministers had found just what they had been striving to find, but imagine my surprise when I heard them denouncing it as the work of Satan. Teachers of immortality denouncing the proofs of their own assertions. 1021. I wish to instill into the hearts of all churchgoers that heaven and hell are only states, or conditions, semicolon, and no man can show you the way, your own feet must tread the road, and the lights that shall guide you to the realms of heavenly bliss are truth and purity of heart. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you, was not spoken of material things, but of things spiritual. 1022. It is only natural that I should protest against the hasty interment of those who are apparently dead. I, who suffered all the agonies of the tortured damned, while enclosed in the narrow confines of the coffin, say, be sure, doubly sure that the spirit has left the body, before consigning it to the grave. The horrors of being buried alive are indescribable. The weight of thousands of tons seems to be pressing out your life, and your frantic struggles for life avail you nothing. 1023. The only proof that can be relied upon, at all times, is decomposition. Have the people of Earth such small time to spare that they cannot wait a sufficient length of time to see whether life is extinct or not? Simple as the process seems, because of daily familiarity, the physiology of sleep is a mystery that scientists have not been able to penetrate. Then why should any physician presume to say that he can determine death? The custom of burying the bodies of your loved ones so soon after death should be abolished. The dead body cannot harm the living, and if life still remains, there may be an opportunity to resuscitate the supposed corpse. Seance number 67, February 3, 1903, Sapphire 1024. The spirit artist that made this picture, in oil, in near 10 minutes of time, under the usual test conditions, doing the work while standing in sight of the circle, and while doing the work, talking to the circle. The spirit uses no brush, but seems to blow against the paint tubes onto the canvas. In this instance, when all was done, except the background, the spirit had read feather pass the painting to each of the circle to observe, closely, that all is done except the background. Then the unfinished painting was handed back to the spirit, who took it, blew about over the canvas for a little time, and handed the picture back to the circle, with the background filled in, and all complete, and the picture was then placed upright, on a vacant chair in the circle, and in a moment, a spirit form emerged from the cabinet, at the parting of the curtains in the center of the cabinet front, having on just such headdress and clothing and general appearance as shown in the picture, and pointing toward the picture, said, "That is my picture," stood a moment, as if to admire the picture, and returned into the cabinet. Speaks at 1107, 1025, and the spirit, Frank Easterhouse, immediately appeared, standing on the carpet, in front of the picture, admiring and talking of its beautiful design and expression, and its wonderful manner of production, and as a specimen of artistic skill as well, and walked over to the secretary, and told him to carefully note this case, as showing what a wonder this spirit artist is, in his line. 1026. Jeanette Berry, medium's sister, said, "I am Jeanette, medium's sister. As you have learned, our mother lately crossed to this side. She was all ready to make the change, except that she had much suffering to endure. I was with her, and so were the others who have passed out. We did all we could to allay the pain and make the transition as comfortable as possible for her, especially father. Brother and I remained on watch with mother, and all were there to welcome her over. She had told us about this great fact, but we did not all believe her. I, especially, thought mother to be mistaken. I thought surely the church could not be wrong. Strange it may seem to you, but while I did not believe mother's teaching, yet, it did me much good when I came to look about in the spirit world, for I soon found I had been greatly mistaken, and then I remembered what mother had told me, and I at once began to search for light in the direction she had advised me, and I soon found that her advice, in the main, was correct." 1027. And here is a lesson that all would do well to heed, that when you have a truth and know it, and though despised at the time for uttering it, nevertheless those who thus despise you may, at some time, feel its truth, and may, also, raise up children who shall call you blessed, that words of truth, spoken to listless ears, may find a lodgment there, and at least take root and grow. Some of our family, beside the medium, still dwell upon the earth plane, and not all of them know as much of this truth as they should. 1028. The other family, Edward, Daniel, George, Sarah and William W., living, and Lorenzo, the father, Wesley, Walter, Jeanette, and the mother, have crossed to the other side. Seance number 68, February 4, 1903, 1029. Because of inclement weather the circle were not all present. The spirit Professor Denton continued his opening remarks into quite an eloquent speech, saying, in his eloquent style, "I am pleased to meet those who are present this evening, because of the much pleasure it is to me to be afforded an opportunity to give to the world something for the benefit of humanity, and I long for the time when I can thus stand before a large audience and address them, as I do you. I have several times expressed my desire in this regard and have waited with patience for the proper conditions, but it seems that people cannot think it possible for spirit forms to stand before them and in oral speech, give forth their thoughts in this way. However discouragingly it may seem to be, I shall not give up yet, for we are not so easily discouraged as sometimes people are on your side. Perhaps mortals, under less difficulties than we have had to contend with ever since we began this work, would not have accomplished it, and we could not have succeeded without your assistance, and for the aid you have given us we must remember you in thankfulness. 1030. But this work that we are now drawing to a close, is not our last effort to give knowledge to the people of your world. We expect to reach greater results than we have yet attained. We may be delayed a little in our plans, but we confidently expect to do, yet, greater work, and fully expect some of you, who have worked faithfully on with us, to still further assist our work along, and while this medium lives in active mediumship, I shall at last hope to see my ambition to talk direct to the people realized. 1031. Many people in your world are almost ready to cross to this side, and some are crossing now, and as they reach us we meet them, gladly extend a welcome and helping hand and especially thank them for all the aid and comfort they have given to the spirit world in trying to teach mortals such things as they should know, for to us, it is lamentable how little is realized by those of your world, who are journeying toward this side, concerning another life, and when they get here, how they will find the great disadvantage, to them, of failing to have learned what they might have ascertained while in the mortal. We hope that those coming here will meet their friends who have come on before and are prepared to help newly born spirits on the road of redeeming knowledge. 1032. So long as you have so many narrow-minded people in your country, it will not improve, but more likely, go down into worse conditions. Therefore, it is meet for all who can do so, to help to disseminate knowledge among the people, to the end that they may broaden their minds and increase in wisdom. 1033. The spirit, Wesley Eber, brother to the medium, whose vocalization is little, if any, less voluminous and oratorical than that of the spirit Thomas Paine, spoke a few words concerning the transition of Mrs. Eber, his mother, saying, 1034. Friends, I am pleased to meet you again. I suppose you are all aware that, lately, our beloved mother has crossed to this side of life. So, one by one, our family crosses, and not far hence, at most, and we all shall be together in the great spirit world. And by all that are now living on mortal side will have crossed over, all must reach this side. For this is an event certain to occur. 1035. Everyone born into your world must be born into the spirit life. It is an event that cannot be avoided. You must be born again. C Street John, 3. 7.1 1036. But thanks to this side of life, a way is prepared to meet all conditions, so that at last all will be well with each weary earth traveler, and our dear mother is not in pain anymore, but in the soothing care of loving friends, and she is so happy with all of us on this side. And Assam has a word in regard to medium's mother, saying, 1037. The medium owes his whole mediumship to his mother. Had it not been for her interference in my behalf, I would have been driven away. Others tried to keep me away, were much determined to do so, but medium's mother plead for my retention, and that is how I am here now. Not many would have been as reconciled as my medium at the passing away of so good a mother. Voltaire 1038. And now comes a spirit whom Red Feather discerns and announces to be Voltaire, and this spirit, in good oral tones and emphatic English speech, said, "Friends, you have been told that, at some time, you would be informed as to what electricity is. Can any man tell what ether is? Could your world know what ether is, it would be a boon to science that will upset many of its calculations. Electricity, however, is compressed ether, that substance which permeates all other substances." Galileo 1039. As Voltaire went into the cabinet, he met one coming out, whom the circle at once recognized as Galileo, from the picture given of him in Beyond the Veil, at paragraph 312, page 133, and from the description on page 128, b. v. This spirit, standing near to the secretary, in very emphatic speech, made more emphatic at times, by the spirit raising the trumpet upon which he rested his right hand and bringing the trumpet down upon the floor with more or less force as emphasis of his words seemed to require, saying, "Good evening, friends." 1040. You have now found what your whole scientific world has failed to ascertain, that electricity is condensed ether. The scientific world may not believe this, but I care not for that. Upon many important scientific problems they are as ignorant as the religious world. When they try to tell of life, they are lost, and when they try to find out what your world is for, they fail. Science and religion are equally ignorant in this regard. 1041. And they have got to seek in a realm they as yet know not of, to solve or find solution to the problems of what life is, and what the universe is for. Let a Michael Faraday draw the veil aside and tell them what it is all for, and they will have a solution worth entertaining. They have not yet solved the question of force. Where, on mortal side, will you discover force equal to a human being, and when will they learn what force is and what for the human being? When they learn enough to inquire of the, to them, unknown realm of spirit. 1042. But, they declare, there is no ghost, while confessing that man is an unsolved problem, an unascertained quantity. How do they know but that, when they declare there is no ghost, they equivalently declare there is no man? Friends, their argument won't hold water, much less the finer elements, if we reckon water an element. They accept absurdities, the very grossest, and yet they do not know that all that science ever knows, it gets from this side of life, as they will find out when they get through with Professor Faraday. 1142-1191, someone of the circle quoted, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers," and the spirit exclaimed, 1043. Yes, but how many of them would take that advice if they thought, for one moment, they would be in danger of entertaining angels? Instead of entertaining angels, they would rob angels. They have become so addicted to robbery that they rob themselves. Their sordid gold and desire for their neighbor's property rob them of entertaining angels, and of early becoming angels in the society of loving friends beyond the tomb. 1044. They call us devils. They say we are demons. Well, if we are devils, who are their gods? Their gods were all made of such as we, and shall a stream rise above its fountain? There never has been anything given for the benefit of man that did not come to man from our side, and yet they think they have given it, even the ministers, after denouncing the good things as of the devil, on finding out their mistake, turn right around and say, "Behold the great things we did." But they would denounce me today for talking to you, just as they did for telling the people that the world moves, and by, they will want to pass laws to compel people to attend church for spirit communion. They try to run things today just as they did when they condemned me to the stake. A. Circle, why did you recant? Spirit, After due consideration, I concluded that I would rather be a live coward than a dead hero, and I knew that the world would move on just as well should I live, as it would if I should die. I knew that my recanting would not stop it any more than their burning or incarcerating me would stop it. I was not like Bruno. He would not recant, and they sent him to spirit life, from whence he could do greater havoc to the church than he could have done had they allowed him to live, and I find that from the realm of spirit, I have been able to do more for man than had I remained on earth until this day. 1045. A manuscript dictation, taken by Dr. Reed, as the circle seemed to be so much interested in the recital of the minister who was buried alive, I thought they would, no doubt, be interested in suspended animation, or the art of holding the breath. Therefore, I sent one of our messengers for a spirit who could give me his individual experience along this line. They brought to me a tall, majestic spirit clad in white, with a white turban on his head. He informed me that, with certain sects in Hindu, suspended animation is considered a part of their religious ritual, and is practiced by many. It is not a difficult art to acquire, so he tells me. But one of the chief requirements is to live without food as near as possible, and for that reason, I do not believe that it will become very popular with many on earth. I asked him what sensations he experienced while in the condition of apparent death, and the following is as near what he told me, as I can collect at the present time. 1046. After my tongue closed the opening in my throat and all other openings in my body being closed by wax, I felt that I was floating, not free, but as if I were encased in a large tube. Someone continually held me in the back, and when I wished to float too rapidly, this one restrained me. I have not the slightest idea of the length of time that this condition lasted, but it seemed to me to be a very long time. Then we came to a valley. The ground was not covered with green grass, but with a soft grey moss, and here and there among the moss were tiny flowers of delicate hues. I remember that all of these flowers were in the form of fine pointed stars. We passed from this valley over high mountains. These mountains were not rugged, but my body grew heavier and heavier as we neared the summit, until it was well nigh impossible for me to proceed. Then, as we began our descent on the other side of the mountain, the nearer we were to the base, the less cumbersome my body. We always met a great many people upon these trips, and they were people I had never seen upon earth, and of different nationalities. The spirit who walked behind me I did not see until I came to the spirit lantern well. Then I learned that he was my guardian spirit, and that he protected me. He kept me from breaking the connection between my spirit and my body. I learned to know many of the spirits I met upon these journeys, and they often cautioned me not to make my visits too often. I was fascinated with the beauty of the world I visited while life was temporarily suspended in my body, and no doubt I did make my visits too frequently. 1047. One spirit has since told me that he practiced suspended animation so successfully that he could remain out of his body for months at a time. But, at last, he remained away a longer time than usual, and when he returned he found that his body had been devoured by white ants. 1048. Another spirit said that his body was rudely handled by persons who did not believe in suspended animation, and that when the connecting link was broken he was shot forward as if by a tremendous force, and seemed to be falling for hours and hours, but at last he reached what was seemingly an island in the sea. There the waves thundered against the rocks and all was inharmonious. After many struggles he returned to the earth plane, but was unable to tell others of his sufferings. 1049. The spirit Reed returns to the experience of the tall majestic one. I had no unpleasant sensations, barring the ones mentioned. I think this was because I always returned when my guardian wished me to. I would tell of my experiences when I returned to earth, and my friends and myself thought that I had visited the other world, which was the fact. But, no matter how long I remained away from my body, I could not penetrate the spirit world any farther than the opposite side of the mountain that I saw upon my first visit. 1046. I wandered at will in the space allotted to me, and formed many valuable friendships. I have known many members of our order who had been denied the right to worship with us, on account of some act of disobedience, to wander among the worldly, and to escape punishment. They would feign death. At times they were successfully resuscitated. But, oftener, they lost their lives. Seance number 69, February 5, 1903-1050.